So I look back and I'm thinking, what is she gonna do next?
Sensible, adjective, having, using, or showing good sense or sound judgment.
I'm not a classy guy.
Come on, two words, nipple belt.
You look like peaches and syrup.
I think Amber would look good scalped.
Not sensible.
Sensible people.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to a new episode of Sensible People. How's everybody doing? You guys good?
Great.
I'm okay.
Good, good. Well, first, we want to thank everybody that's tuned in today. We launched last week with three episodes. If you haven't listened, we highly encourage you to do so. We've received a tremendous amount of feedback, so we thank you for that. A lot of good positive feedback. We truly appreciate not just the positive stuff, but also some of the critical stuff, because we want to continue to improve, cater to you, the Sensible Nation. So please give us reviews, message us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. We want to hear what you think. Now that that's out of the way, we've got a great show lined up for you guys, where we get to be the teachers or professors for the day for you guys. That is because we have enrolled you all in the School of Etiquette for Sensible People.
So sit down and shut up.
So with that, let's hear Amber's story, and she'll lead in with her first class for the day.
Yeah, so the other day I was driving to work, and the first section of my drive is on a really long country road before I get on the highway. And, you know, in the morning, I kind of like look back, look at the drivers around me, and I start noticing this woman behind me is swerving a little bit. Like, not a ton, she's not going off the road, she's just swerving within her lane. And I notice at first she's eating her breakfast, which is kind of normal. I eat toast on the way in. No, and then a little while later, I look back
toast?
Again. Yeah, I eat toast. I love toast. She doesn't like toast.
On a plate? Like, what do you
no,
mean?
No, no,
no.
I just bring a slice of toast.
Can
with
we
me
call
in the
you
car.
Toast eater?
I can't picture you eating toast driving. Really? I just can't.
This is disrespectful.
My breakfast
for the teacher,
every morning.
Ryan.
So it wasn't that weird when she was eating her breakfast in the car. Okay. I look back a little while later, and I notice that she's brushing her hair. I'm like, okay, I can kind of see that. You're running out of your house, brush your hair in the car. That's fine.
Sure.
So now we're starting to get into the little section that has stoplights, where you have to start paying attention a little bit more. I look back. Yeah?
There's stoplights in Wisconsin?
Oh.
Or are we past the border?
No, we're still in Wisconsin at this point, okay? I look back, and she's flossing her teeth with one of those, like, long flosser things. I'm like, okay, this is getting to be a little
those
bit much.
Those things are awful.
I use some of those sometimes. But then we start merging onto the highway, and I look back, and she's putting on her mascara. Now, I know you guys probably can't tell how difficult this is, but for me, I can barely put it on correctly when I'm standing still in my bathroom.
So, like, she's driving still. She's not stopped.
Yeah, no, she's not stopped. She's emerging onto the highway.
She's merging.
Now, was she a lefty or righty? Could you tell?
I think righty.
So, righty, she's putting it on with her left hand. So, like, one eye on the road, one in her
mirror.
I don't
know what she was doing. I was half impressed and half pissed that she was just disregarding every other driver on the road.
Well, you aren't even looking ahead. You're looking in the rear view mirror the whole time.
Yeah.
It was fascinating. That kind of brings me to my lesson for the day, which is driving etiquette. And my story kind of goes along with what I'm going to teach you about. I'm going to teach you about the three different types of merging. So to me, there's three distinct categories to merging. There's merging from two lanes into one lane, just on a normal road.
Okay.
There's also merging onto the highway, and then there's merging into a right or left turn lane.
Which Wisconsin people don't merge on the highways. They're scared.
So my thought is, when you're merging from two lanes into one lane, you're either going to be in the lane that doesn't have to merge, so you just get to keep going straight, or you're in the mergey in the lane, if you will. My thought is if you're the person going straight, you are obligated to let one person in who's the mergey. Just one.
You are that asshole that just doesn't, you wait to the very last second and you try to get over when the two lanes merge together, aren't you?
No, I'm the person who's always in the correct lane.
I never have to merge.
She's in the lane going 30, 20 minutes before.
I've seen her drive.
You need to merge.
All Wisconsin drivers are bad.
No, you let one person in and you don't have to worry about the rest, but just one. Okay?
All right, so we got two into one.
Okay. Then merging onto the highway. I believe that if you are merging onto the highway and you have the opportunity to merge before you get to that little end of the dotted line, you have to merge. You do not wait till the end of that dotted line.
Yeah.
You just go.
Get the fuck over.
Yes.
Get on the highway and go.
Why are you waiting till the end?
Why are you going 40 when you're merging onto the highway? That's exactly the other question I have.
Makes sense to me.
No, you get over if you can. If you're behind a semi, I guess I understand, but no, you get over.
You take the risk. Roll the dice. Get in front of the semi.
Now, my next one kind of goes against that. So if you're merging into a right or left turn lane, you have to wait until it turns into the turn lane.
Now, wait. Explain that. What do you mean merging into a right or left turn lane?
So, like, if you're going to turn right and there's that little, like, cove, yeah, or turn left and there's that little cove to turn, I've noticed that Illinois drivers specifically will drive on the gravel part of the road before it even hits the right.
We're aggressive. No, we're aggressive.
No. You got to make the light.
You cannot do that.
Yeah. We get to where we're going.
I actually got a ticket for doing that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You can't do that.
You shouldn't be ticketed.
It was about 3 years ago I did that. And this guy pulled me over instantly, and he's like, you could have killed somebody. No, I couldn't have. Nobody was driving over there.
Because everybody else is just driving, and they're waiting to the lane. So they're not looking in their blind spot to go into the right turn
that
lane.
That is the risk, the people that swerve into the left lane. Mm-hmm. And then you could rear end them. I'm not as concerned with the people coming from oncoming traffic. It's the people that aren't paying attention and are obeying the actual rules that are going to turn into the left lane. I'm always wary of them.
Yeah.
But I'm good at it.
I need help with something with the right lane. And I've always wondered, and maybe you guys are going to make me feel real dumb, but I'm going to ask you guys on the air. So you know when you're behind a semi, and on the right side of the semi when you're stopped, it says, like, caution, wide right turn. And it's got that little image of the semi turning right. And there's a car on the right-hand side of it. And in the image, it's hitting the car. And that's why it's saying caution.
Mm-hmm.
But when would that ever happen, if you really think about that? When there's two right lanes, and the semi's turning right, but it's hitting you? Do you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're talking about. I always thought that was referring to they're going to seem like they might not be turning, so don't swoop in and try to turn.
I swoop in there. Amber.
But you're right. I've never thought about that before.
Right, because the sign is only seen by those behind them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's a fucking stupid sign, I guess.
Dumb sign.
But, no, maybe that's right. Maybe somebody can chime in and send us a message
on
social media.
Let us know.
Inform us. We probably sound like a bunch of fucking idiots. But yeah, I mean, if it's turning right, rather, maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's when they try to swoop in.
Yeah, and turn before.
Yeah,
I really like to be a swooper.
Like Regis.
Swoop in any situation.
So that's my little lesson for today, but I actually have a quiz for you guys.
Ooh.
So I decided to go and look at the Illinois driving test, the practice test online, and I was gonna actually ask you guys the questions, but I went to collect some questions, and I realized that I could not answer any of them. So we're going to do a couple
this
questions
on air.
This is going to
be easy. Easy.
All right. Are you ready, guys?
Ready.
Okay. First question. If a railroad crossing has no warning devices or only a crossbuck sign, you should A, stop within 100 feet of the railroad crossing. B, slow down and then proceed with caution. C, shift gears and proceed through the railroad crossing. Or D, increase your speed and cross the railroad crossing.
Shift gears.
That came from Wisconsin.
What was so D? I'm sorry. Repeat
D was
D,
increase your speed and cross the railroad crossing.
So we're talking, we're approaching a railroad crossing. Mm-hmm. There's no guards. There's no sign. There's no stop sign.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, we just got the painted shit on the road.
Yeah.
I'm going to go A.
So stopping within 100 feet.
And what was B? Sorry.
Slow down, then proceed with caution. And I'm going to go with B. I think you just slow down.
I'm going B.
B. So we're going to answer B and say if it's
like a yellow light. It's like a yellow light.
Hey, that was correct. B was correct.
He always loses.
Okay, next question. A broken yellow line alongside a solid yellow line indicates that A, passing is not permitted on either side. B, passing is permitted on the side of the broken line, but not on the side of the solid line. C, passing is permitted on both sides. Or D, passing is permitted on the side of the solid line, but not on the side of the broken line. I have no idea what the lines in the middle of the road mean.
I'm going B. I think I know this.
So passing is permitted on the side of the broken line, but not the solid
line? Pass around the old driver.
And what's A again?
A is passing is not permitted on either side.
I go B as well.
I'm going to go D just to be different. So passing is on the solid line. But we'll answer B.
You don't pass on a solid line.
You guys are correct. I don't know what they mean.
There you go.
You guys all heard where she's from, so don't be surprised.
Next question. These are about a lot of railroads because there's a lot of railroads in Illinois. So which of the following statements about railroad crossing is false? A, you should check how many tracks there are before you cross. B, never start to cross if there's no room for your vehicle on the far side. C, you must yield to the crossing trains. Or D, it is wise to shift gears when crossing railroad tracks.
He's all the shifting gears. I'm going C.
False.
Yeah, you must yield the cross. I mean, yeah. That kind of goes without saying.
But it's which right? one is false?
Oh, which one is false?
So we couldn't even answer the question.
Our reading comprehension is not the
best.
It was
always my worst subject.
I'm going to go A, check how many tracks there are. Like, why is that necessary?
That's what you're saying is false.
It's false, yeah.
Yeah, I would say that too.
What was B?
False.
Never start to cross if there's no room for your vehicle on the far side.
No. I'm going B.
I'm going B. A.
We're going to, okay, we'll do A. Oh, no, it was D. It is wise to shift gears
what?
When crossing railroad
My car
tracks.
Doesn't shift fucking gears.
Yes, it does. It just...
It's automatic. I don't have to do it. It's the Malibro.
Oh, my God. Well, Ryan, did you learn anything from her lecture?
No.
Are you going to change your driving habits?
No. Because I've seen her drive, and I know how
I'm going
drive.
On ratemyteacher.com tonight and giving her a fucking F. All right. Well, it's time for my lesson, I think.
Yeah.
My lesson for the day is called Don't. And I might get a little fired up during this lesson, so don't mind me. So my lesson revolves around a couple things that I've seen in recent weeks that have kind of ticked me off. And that being, number one, I'm at the gas station, actually on the way to record one of our first episodes. I stopped at a Citgo on the way here, and I pull in, and I'm going to fill my tank, and I see this guy, this little punk-ass kid, filling his gas tank in one hand. He's filling the tank in his left hand. He's got a cigarette that's lit, and he's smoking in his right hand. And he's got his cell phone, which he's talking on, pinned between his shoulder and his left ear.
Yeah.
So my...
Go on.
It was probably Ryan. So I see this guy, and, you know, his fucking pants are down to his knees. He's you know, kind of one of those kids that just the rules don't apply to, yeah. Of course. So I pull up. I'm like, this kid is going to fucking blow this entire pop scene. He's going to kill everybody here. He's not paying attention. He's extremely careless. And the attendant comes out and starts yelling at him. And of course, the kid is just being a punk ass, pretending he's not hearing him. He's clearly hearing him. The guy's yelling. It's right in his face. Mm-hmm. And this kid is completely ignoring him and just keeps smoking away. And he's still talking on the phone and he's filling his tank. Now, if he drops that, we're all going up in flames, right?
It's a free country. You can do what you want. I'm sure that's what he was telling the gas station attendant.
I think it explicitly states to not be a fucking idiot and light your cigarette and talk on the phone. But he's doing not one, but two of these things. So my lesson for the day is if you're going to pull into the gas station for a smoke break, go off to the fucking side. Don't smoke where the gasoline is, you fucking idiots.
I don't think anything would have happened.
No, I agree with Taylor. Don't do that.
You're putting your life at risk and everybody else's.
I'm not saying that I ever did it, but I have seen people do it. And I've never seen anything blow up.
I mean, to each and their own. It's not that you haven't seen it. It's that it could happen. You're putting...
There's a lot of things that could happen in life.
There's an increased risk.
I don't live on can it, could it, maybe, no. It didn't
happen.
So
you just wait for it to happen until you're engulfed in flames?
I'm factual.
All right. My second lesson for the day is I'm riding the Metra, which is a train in Chicagoland, a couple weeks ago. And I see this guy on the upper deck. This train has two levels. It's got a first level and a second level. Second level, I'm upstairs. This guy's upstairs. Instead of sitting upright like a normal person, these seats face sideways. So the people are facing each other, right? If I'm on the right or left side of the train. This guy across from me is literally lying down sprawled across six chairs, reading the fucking paper. And somebody comes to sit up there when the next stop arrives, and this guy won't move. he's just he's like not paying attention and reading the paper, and the guy's like, "Can I have a seat? Excuse me, sir. You're kind of taking up quite a bit of space." So my point is, with etiquette, don't be a fucking rude prick. If you're going to sit on the train, sit like a normal person. If nobody's sitting next to you, you know, it's okay to put your briefcase on the chair next to you, or, you know, straggle two chairs. But don't fucking lie down like you're at your couch.
Was it crowded?
It was semi-crowded, okay. But it got more
then
crowded.
Then he's fine. He's fine.
Did he take off his shoes?
Shoes were on. But again, he's on his stomach reading the paper, sprawled. He looked completely ridiculous.
Is there a sign on the train that says, "Please don't be comfortable"? is there a sign against it?
There's a sign that says, "Don't put your fucking feet up." I'm sure that probably applies to your belly, dick, and chin, too.
If I took public transportation to work, I'd sure as hell be comfortable. I'm with this guy.
So I just kept giving him dirty looks.
And you said he was reading a paper?
He was reading the newspaper.
A newspaper.
The newspaper.
For all you our listeners out there, a newspaper is printed on newsprint with black ink. It's fairly large, and you have to flip paper that's actually yesterday's news to see what's happening in today's world, just in case you didn't know.
Thank you for that. All right. My last lesson for the day revolves around kids. And I know, Ryan, you have a kid. So I'm hoping that you haven't gone down this path anymore. But my lesson is, stop fucking talking to me about your kids. These people, I cannot tell you how many times these people just keep ranting and ranting about their goddamn kids. Listen, your kid's okay looking. Maybe it's cute. Maybe it looks like shit. I don't care either way. Stop telling me what your kid's fucking shit looked like on Saturday afternoon. And stop telling me what they're doing this weekend or what camp they're in. If I ask how they're doing, a simple nice or a simple good will suffice. That's my lesson.
I can't wait to show you his school pictures when we get done here. You got to see them. You have to.
Please don't.
It's because these little people consume our lives.
I get that. And I know that you love them and you want to share their lives and tell people about them. And that's great. Tell your fucking in-laws. Tell your parents. Tell your grandparents. Show me a picture. Send me a card. I don't care. I toss it anyways. But just don't keep going. You have a life too. I have a life too. Let's talk about each other. Let's talk about what's going on in the world. So when you go on for 2 fucking hours or 30 minutes, change the goddamn topic.
So you're telling me you'd rather hear about my experience with Eco Pleasure than telling you about what he did
at
camp?
I most certainly would.
We will have to talk about that at some point.
So that concludes my fiery rant for don't. Hopefully you guys graduate with flying colors.
So for this next segment, I'm going to put Taylor and Amber to school, and I'm going to be the professor, and they're going to be the little fucking students that are going to sit nicely in their desk and not say a word until they raise their hand and have questions for
me. I may sprawl out across the studio table and read the newspaper.
I am really excited to teach you guys how to use a public restroom.
Ooh.
I can't wait. I'm going to get really excited with
this.
So keep me grounded. So there's a couple things that you do when you go into a public restroom. We all know, whether it's number one, number two, or maybe you just need to go wash your hands or freshen up. So to start, let's start with taking a number one in a public restroom.
All right.
So it's hard for me to speak for the women, Amber, but I'm going to start with the men. I like to go into the bathroom. A bathroom to me is my sanctuary. I live half my life in a bathroom, and I like to assess the situation. So when I go into a place of business or where I work, I go into the bathroom and I stop and I look around like I'm in awe. Almost like I'm looking at to feel the dream. So I see where everything's at. So number one, I walk up to the urinal. You got to put both hands on your hips while you pee. You don't touch, you don't touch downstairs. Both hands on the hips, because it's also a place to relax and soak in and get away from your desk at work.
Get away from the kids telling stories.
So while you're going, so you got your hands on the hips. Obviously, you get the zipper down. You're midstream. you're looking at the wall. There's really not much to look at when you're in the men's bathroom at a urinal. And like any public restroom, you're going to see the boogers on the wall. There's bloody ones. There's crusty ones. There's phlegmy ones. There's gooey ones. You name it, it's on there. I like to, if you're looking for something to do, you pick, if you got a crusty booger in your nose, you pick it. And you got to put it either on the wall or on top of the urinal. You don't touch the chrome. The chrome is a no-no. So then when you're done going to the bathroom, you zip up. And let's be honest, washing your hands is the biggest waste of time ever. So when you go number one, you don't wash your hands. You don't have to. Why do you care if you shake someone's hand or you hand somebody a pen? That's their problem. That's not your problem. So remember, we're going to separate it. It's not, it. There's, you don't have problems. They have the problems. So where I go to the public restroom most of the time is you can hear the women's bathroom and you can hear other people at least knowing that they're in the other bathroom. So sometimes after going number one and I hear that someone's right outside the door or they're washing their hands, I'll just turn the water on to fake wash my hands just so they know I'm washing my hands. I know you guys are probably asking why, but the reason why is I don't feel like putting my hands under the water. I got to take my ring off. Then I got to use soap and scrub my hands. And it just takes too much time. And then I got to get a paper towel.
Why would you have to take your ring off?
Because it'll come off. And then if I get soap on my ring, then I got to rinse it off. It's not feasible. It's not. And then it's like there's this clunky thing as you're like moving your hands together. It saves time. And then sometimes I even knock on the paper towel or pretend like I'm grabbing it just so they hear like it sounds like it's coming out.
Thank you.
So that leads us, I feel like this will be very similar for women. Women going number one and two, I think, are in the same category because you're kind of in the same position as men going number two. Unless you pee standing up, Amber.
No, I do not.
Okay, just wanted to make sure. So going number two in a public restroom. The first thing you got to do is scope out where the handicap stall is. You got to go into the handicap stall, even if you're not handicapped, because it just feels comfortable, goddammit. It's bigger, and it almost feels like if you're in a living room in a public restroom. So then you got to take a piece of toilet paper out and carefully clean the toilet seat around, wipe where, you know, everybody's fucking little dick is, because there's always crusty shit there. It's like blood and like pubes and dust. I don't know what these people do.
It's a lot of blood.
It is.
Why is there blood in the men's bathroom? And sometimes,
like, there's just, it's, I don't know. They bleed out their dicks. I've seen it.
Professor, I have a question. What are your thoughts on those, like, those toilet little paper things that you put on instead of cleaning it off?
Disgusting. You don't sit on those. Okay. Those, I mean, they might be sanitary, but who really wants to sit like you're sitting on the doctor's office, like, table? You know, when you go onto that, it's the same paper.
Okay.
I did grow up with a kid that his mom had a carpeted toilet seat. So just think about that. You can't clean it. Disgusting.
I'll remember that for the quiz.
Sounds really dirty.
So you go into the handicap stall just because it's bigger. And, you know, the first thing you do then when you sit down is you got to lift up your feet. And why do you lift up your feet, you say? Because then people can't tell who's in the bathroom and laugh at you because you're blowing out your shit while you're at work or school or whatever. I pulled this move off so much when I was in grade school. I always had, for the most part, I always wore Jordan shoes. And everybody always knew me by my shoes. So one time I was in there and I was so embarrassed. And someone pointed out my shoes. There's about 10 kids that ended up in the bathroom saying, "Church is in there taking a shit." So ever since that, I would pick up my feet so you can't see me. And I know, Taylor, you're at a job where you work with more people. My brother's told me this, too, being in corporate setting. Do you ever see guys, like, just taking a complete shit and you see their, like, work ID laying on the ground so you know who's in there heaving?
I haven't. No, I haven't.
So I hear that all the time. So if that's the case, then you know what? Put your fucking ID in your pocket. It's that simple.
Professor, I have another question. So what would be the etiquette of if you aren't the one taking a shit, but you walk in mid-poop for somebody else? Do you leave the bathroom or do you just do your stuff and get out?
No, what's you go. What do you mean? You go. You listen to the plop. You listen to the fart. There's no big deal about it.
Okay.
And smell it in.
Professor, I have somebody that peed all over my shoes next to the urinal.
You guys have some dumb questions. Just listen to my class. You have shoes on, so you go walk into the piss and pee in the urinal, and then again, it's your work's problem to go back into work because you're tracking pee in your work, not your problem.
No, but this guy peed on my shoes.
Well, then you just fucking pee on him, too, if that's the case. So you go in there, you're reading your phone, you're reading your paper, you're done doing your business. What do you do next? So I've seen the bunch routine with the toilet paper where you just kind of bunch it up to wipe your ass. No. I've seen the fold. I've seen just the flat out straight. You fold that fucking toilet paper. You do the two-fold, the three-fold, whether it's a bi-fold or a Z-fold, but you fold. And you wipe your ass one time. You don't leave a tail on the end, which I've heard, to flap it back over the toilet paper to do a re-wipe. You use one wipe. You put in the toilet paper. I'm usually a 2 to 3, then flush just to make sure it doesn't get plugged. And you're good to go. So then you get out. You do your shit. And I'm going to say, we are talking about a public restroom, so yes, you do wash your hands. I know you guys are nervous what I was going to say, but...
After number two,
you wash your hands. But if you're at home, it's iffy. sometimes you just say, fuck it. Like, if you're going to bed, is it going to do anything, really?
What if you're in the studio?
You wash your hands, because I don't want to fucking smell your hands. I always thought about it this way, and I think it's weird. If you got physical poop on your hands, let's say, like, and not even if you were in the bathroom, if somehow, like, let's just say dog shit, you're picking up dog shit and you got it on your hands, you would go in and wash your hands, obviously.
Correct.
So where I'm going with this is, as Americans specifically, when we take a number two, we use toilet paper, which is like a dry product. So I don't understand like why it's socially acceptable to not use like, let's say, a baby wipe instead to actually clean yourself. Because like, so where I'm going is, if you had poop on your hands, would you just use a paper towel to wipe it off and not wash your hands? Okay.
Neville.
So why is wiping your ass with dry toilet paper fine?
I don't have an answer for you, Professor. I think
it's just because then the toilet paper breaks down in the septic system, whereas those wipes don't break down.
So we're walking around all day as
as
people of this society, we all have poop in our ass. No matter what, we have it. Unless you just got out of the shower.
I'll admit that I do have the little like flushable wipes at home.
You have to use
them. But you have to throw them away, guys. You cannot flush them. They're not flushable. Throw them in the garbage.
I did forget to say, we've all been there. When you really are making, let's just say, loud fucking noises in a public restroom, give a goddamn courtesy flush. Amber referenced the other, just a minute ago. If you go in, halfway through, give a courtesy flush. It helps with the smell and it helps with the sound. No one wants to hear that shit.
Professor, can you define a courtesy flush for those listeners who don't know?
There's a whole different category we could talk at a different time of the state of your poo, whether it's solid, it's pudding, it's splatter, it's brownie batter. No. You kind of get the rabbit turds where you get no roughage in your diet. But when it's more of you're making a loud sound mid-go, you need to give a flush. It drowns out the sound and it drowns out the smell. I hate the people that are sitting there for a half hour with no flush and it just smells so fucking disgusting. Give the people what they want is a flush. Got it?
Got it.
Got it.
You guys understand?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so now who has to poop?
Oh, Lord. Well, thank you for that. So we've taught you a few lessons for the day. Now we're going to move on to a game. Ryan's going to lead that game. Amber and I are going to answer.
Yeah.
Take it away.
So we're going to play a game here called Did It Really Happen? And the way it's going to work is I'm going to read three stories. And these stories can all be true. They can all be fake. Some can be true. Some can be fake. And it's going to be up to Amber and Taylor to determine if the story's true or not. You get 1 point for a right answer, And the way it's going to work is after I read one story, they're going to guess whether it's true or fake. But I won't reveal the answer until the very end after I read all three. I hope you guys enjoy.
And we each get 1 point?
You each get 1 point for a correct answer.
Sounds good.
Got it. All right, so here we go. Not going to say right now where I got these from. Just going to go. I ride the train every day to work and come across a lot of different types of people and situations. This one, by far, stands out to me. I walk onto the train, and of course, it was very crowded. I was able to find a seat toward the back of the car, and after sitting down, I realized I was sitting right across from a new mom and a newborn baby. The mother was holding the baby on her lap. I noticed there was another gentleman sitting to her right. At the time, I didn't think anything of it besides the fact that I might have to listen to a screaming baby for an hour on the way to work. I put my headphones on and started to relax. As I was listening to music, I noticed some movement in the corner of my eye. The new mother was positioning the baby up by her chest and was starting to breastfeed. No big deal. I know a lot of mothers breastfeed in public. She had a blanket over her breast and was very discreet about it. She was getting some looks from the other passengers, but nothing out of the ordinary. After about 5 minutes, I noticed some more movement from the corner of my eye. The new mother released the baby from her breast and let the blanket down so the whole car could see a fully exposed breast. So I was a little shocked, but then what happened next completely caught me off guard. The gentleman sitting next to her slid closer to the mom, bobbed his head down, and started sucking on the exposed breast. I could not believe what I was witnessing. As you might have guessed, a lot of passengers decided to get up and move to a different car. As surprised as I was, it was something I couldn't look away from. She clearly saw me staring, but didn't seem to care. Thanks to public transportation, this is a story I'll never forget.
I'm going to take a crack at it and go, no, it did not happen. As much as I wish that was a real story.
Amber?
Can I say the same as Taylor?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not going to agree with him every time, but I'm going to say no, this didn't happen.
All right. On to story number two. So just to recap, they both said false, false for story one. Story two. Ihsan Abdulaziz, a Saudi millionaire property developer, was cleared of rape charges in London this week after he claimed that he'd tripped and fallen on an 18-year-old girl who was sleeping at his apartment after parting with him, penetrating her by accident. The report says that Abdulaziz, or however you pronounce it, has already had sex with the 18-year-old's friend, and he said his penis might have been poking out of his underwear when he happened when he stumbled upon the young woman sleeping off a night of drinking. The millionaire accounted for his DNA being found in the woman's vagina because she allegedly seduced him when he was offering her a t-shirt or a taxi ride home. He also said that he had semen on his...
I won't interrupt, but a t-shirt or a taxi ride.
Very random. He also said that he had semen on his hands from having sex with the woman's friend earlier. In court, Abdulaziz maintained his innocence, saying, "I'm fragile. I fell down, but nothing ever happened. Between me and this girl, nothing ever happened." A jury reportedly deliberated for only 30 minutes before acquitting Abdulaziz of one count of rape.
Wow.
So found innocent.
I am going to say this did happen, and that makes me very sad.
I'll go with it did happen, too.
All right.
It sounds so absurd and outrageous, but I feel like...
It was just poking out of his underwear.
So for the next one, we're going to take different stances.
All right, so we got false, false, true, true. All right, story three. Apparently, some food just tastes better when you eat it butt naked. This restaurant is hoping to capitalize on that creepy feeling when it opens up. Restaurant goers will enter a clothing optional space free from phones, electric lights, where you can revisit the beginning where everything was fresh, free, and unadulterated from the trappings of modern life. Translation, you can eat salad with your dick out. This restaurant will have a section for nude customers as well as clothed and further offer a changing room for customers seeking to strip down. The restaurant hopes to provide a Pangea-like world where restaurant goers can feel true liberation, the owner said. We have worked very hard to design a space where everything patrons interact with is bare and naked. The use of natural bamboo partitions and candlelight has enabled us to make the restaurant discreet whilst adhering to the ethos behind it. The current waiting list for this bar, for the bar, has over 11,000 people on it, ready to strip down and pig out in style.
Ooh, this could seal the deal, right, with Victory?
Yeah, that's tough.
I'm going to say this is false. It did not really happen.
Amber?
I'm going to go with true.
All right. So let's go back to story one. We'll start from there. Story one was, as much as I wanted it to be real as well, story one is false.
And what was the story again?
So the story was, in short, some guy reached over after the mom was done breastfeeding and got himself a little taste of milk. I wish I could see that. I want to see it happen.
He could do that.
Yeah, see and do. Why not, right? So false. Story two, about a millionaire Saudi Arabian. He tripped and fell and had sex with a girl. That was his claim, is that he never had sex with her, actually. He tripped and fell.
It's gotta be true.
Right into her pussy. This is true. As mad as this will make some people, he was acquitted on all charges.
Wow. What, he slipped on like peanut
a banana peel. Yeah, some guys are going to use that now, and somebody got away with it.
Unbelievable.
So as of right now, it's tied. 2 points each to the last question. Story three, where you can eat chicken fingers and dip the barbecue sauce off your chest, is true.
Oh! Woo.
Amber got her first win.
Wow, congrats. And where is this opening, just so we all know?
I'm not
It doesn't say.
He doesn't go that deep into his research.
I didn't get those exclusive rights, Amber, and I'm not giving them free advertising.
We'll look it up.
No, I really actually do know. It's in London.
Oh.
It opened up 2 years ago, summer of 2015.
Oh, it's already open.
Yeah.
Okay.
Adam, she's going to take you there.
Road trip.
I'm excited. I'm taking one for the ladies. One win.
Did it really happen?
I didn't think Amber was
actually going to win on that one.
Oh, my God. Well, I think we've lectured you guys enough for the day. I'm not going to yell at you like Ryan did at the end of episode one. But please follow us on our social media accounts. Persuade your friends and family to listen to us. You can listen anytime, anywhere, and all for free. So we are sensible people. We hope you guys enjoy the show. We've got more coming at you later this month. I'm Taylor signing off for Raw Dog and Amber.
And guys, like Taylor said, I'm not going to yell at you. But you know what? Make sure, give us a review, whether it's good or bad. Give us some ratings. I know a lot of people are new to podcasts, so show your friends. Show them how to use the app. Show them how you go to our website and listen. And we want everybody to enjoy what we're putting out. And thanks for listening.
Have a good week, guys.
Later.